fake service dogs, the growing problem of people bringing their pets into clinics and dentist offices, grocery stores, restaurants, shopping malls, and even movie theaters struck a nerve, enough so that a new law will kick in that carries fines for trying to pass off pets as legitimate service animals. Advocates for the disabled worry that there may be some confusion about the new law and that an overzealous public could run afoul of the law that protects a person's civil rights. We sat down with Bill Hoshijo with the Civil Rights Commission.
Act 217 became law without the governor's signature. It's a bill that's meant to prohibit the fraudulent representation of an animal as a service animal. And it imposes a civil penalty for fraudulent representations. Our concern with this new law is that although it does not directly affect rights of persons with disabilities under state or federal fair housing law, that it could cause confusion and have a chilling effect on people with persons with disabilities exercising their rights to reasonable accommodation and housing.
So I could see maybe how someone might have to file a complaint, a lawsuit, if they feel that their rights have been violated.
Yeah, you know, it again, the new law doesn't directly affect rights to come to the Hawaii Civil Rights Commission or to HUD to file complaints if they've been denied a request for a reasonable accommodation in the form of an assistance animal. And I'm sure we'll continue to get complaints. We do get complaints. I think that there is a common misunderstanding about the distinction between a service animal and an assistance animal. Service animal is a dog, generally, that's trained to perform tasks or work for a person with a disability. Assistance animals, more broadly, include service animals, but can also include support animals, therapy animals, and comfort animals. They don't necessarily have to be trained to perform a task.
But from my understanding, the law is really targeted at having these animals in places where they normally wouldn't be. You know, because we see them now all over. We see animals, people taking pets into shopping centers and grocery stores and restaurants. And I think that's kind of what triggered this law.
I think you're right that that was the concern, and that's the purpose and the intent and intent of the bill go to that concern. Our primary concern is that it could cause confusion and lead housing providers to deny requests for reasonable accommodation under our fair housing laws. So, I think we all recognize that there's a lot of concern and unhappiness over the proliferation of dogs with vests or certificates going into places of public accommodation.
Right, and those vests and certificates that you can get online are really meaningless.
Yeah, there's no real official certification of service animals anywhere. So you're right, they are meaningless.
I have noticed a number of signs going up in more stores and restaurants these days, though.
We wanted to address it proactively so that we could, through education, try to avoid confusion, since it has been in the news with when the bill was enacted as Act 217. So starting now, we'll remind people of the limitations of what the law affects and does not affect, and we'll try to get the information out there basically to prevent problems.
And the Civil Rights Commission, you're fairly narrow. You deal with mainly the housing part.
Yeah, in this instance, our general jurisdiction is over discrimination complaints in employment, housing, and public accommodations, and to a limited extent, state-funded services. Our primary concern with this bill is the potential confusion and negative impact with regard to housing.
We did discuss this issue and your concerns at the time as this bill was being debated at the legislature is that it could have unintended consequences and have negative consequences on the people who do have service animals or comfort animals.
That's correct, especially where housing providers, AOAOs, and landlords are dealing with requests from tenants or owners who are persons with a disability.
And for folks who don't know what an AOAO is?
Condominium Association.
Have you had any inquiries since this law went into effect?
Actually, in the few days since it was enacted without approval, or I should say without governor's signature, we haven't had calls yet, but I'm sure we will.
How many people do you estimate are out there that have service animals?
You know, we really don't have the data to say. I think we could look at the number of complaints filed, but that would be a small subset of the actual number, I think.
I know initially when this bill was proposed, the idea is it would act as a deterrent and really help to educate the general public since there has been this abuse of the term, you know, service animal.
That's on the face of the bill, that's one of the stated purposes.
I mean, do you agree with that, that there's been just this abuse?
Well, you know, I'd agree that there's public concern. I think the federal law is clear that under U.S. Department of Justice regulations, with Title II and Title III of the ADA, which apply to government services and public accommodations, that only service animals are, the use of service animals is protected, but not assistance animals. So it's a pretty clear line. As a trade-off, the USDOJ regulations allow places of public accommodation, so businesses, to ask only two questions. And that's where it's that limited inquiry, I think, that gives people heartburn.
Bill Hoshijo is with the Civil Rights Commission. He's been talking about the new service animal law that goes into effect in January. The two questions he referred to that people can ask is one, whether the dog is trained specifically for a disability, and two, what task has it been trained for?